Okay, so get ready, because this one's a wild ride. We're talking Nazi spies, we're talking flying saucers, and like right smack in the middle of it all is this engineer who swore up and down that he invented the whole shebang.
It's a story that, it walks this really interesting line between what we know actually happened and these really out there claims. You start to see how, after the war, all these stories about top secret inventions and crazy technology, they just kind of took off.
And at the heart of it all, you've got Nils Christensen. And the thing is, Christensen, he wasn't just some guy who thought he saw a UFO one night, right? This was a trained engineer, knew his stuff, but he also just happened to be running a Nazi spy ring down in Brazil back in the 40s.
Yeah, and that's what makes this whole thing so fascinating. We've got these declassified files right from his arrest back in 42, and they paint this picture of a guy who was sharp, knew how to work the system, someone who was up to his eyeballs in espionage. But then, just a few years later, he's out here claiming he built a flying saucer. It's wild.
So picture this: convicted spy, stuck in a Brazilian prison, and just when the world's going gaga over all these flying saucer sightings, he drops this bombshell. Nope, I made that.
And he wasn't messing around either. He went all in on this invention, described it in detail. A circular aluminum body, he said, propeller blades, steel casing, even jet nozzles, the works.
Hold on, wait, jet nozzles and propellers? So he's got like every futuristic gadget crammed onto this
Pretty
thing.
much, yeah. And if that's not enough, get this. He claimed this thing ran on oil.
Oil. Not exactly the first thing that comes to mind when you think high-speed interstellar travel.
No, not exactly light years ahead in the fuel department. But here's the kicker. Christensen insisted he built and tested this thing way back in 41, like before anyone was even talking about flying saucers.
Right, so he's saying he was ahead of the curve, way
Oh,
ahead.
yeah. He wasn't shy about it either. According to him, this wasn't just some side project in his garage. Oh, no, he's claiming he built this thing in a secret lab with a couple of, you guessed it, mysterious German engineers. He even gave us their names, Werner and Richmond.
Of course. Gotta have those anonymous collaborators. Adds to the mystery, all right? So we've got Christensen, this spy turned inventor, claiming he cracked the flying saucer code years before anyone else. But, and here's where our deep dive takes that turn, into a healthy dose of skepticism, because, and you probably saw this coming, the evidence for Christensen's flying saucer, well, it's about as convincing as a flat tire on a unicycle.
You got that right. No blueprints, no prototypes, not even a blurry photo. And those mysterious German collaborators vanished without a trace.
Oof. Gone. It's almost like, you'd think if he was trying to sell this whole thing, he would have at least come up with some kind of proof, you know?
Well, yeah, but that's where the whole historical context thing comes into play. Think about it, right? This is the Cold War. Everybody's on edge. Rumors flying around faster than a, I don't know, faster than a jet plane about secret weapons, crazy technology.
Right, like, who's got the next big thing? Who's ahead?
Exactly. People were ready to believe just about anything, especially if it involved Nazis and, technology that seemed straight out of a comic book.
So maybe a little paranoia went a long way. People were already kind of freaked out that somebody, somewhere, might have figured out anti-gravity, right? So he basically just gave them a name and a story they could latch on to.
You got it. And it gets better, or, well, maybe not better, but Christensen. He wasn't content just bragging about this thing he already built. Oh no, he went a step further, offered to build Brazil a brand new flying saucer, even more amazing than the last one, promised it would put them ahead of everyone else.
Whoa, hold up. He went from like accused spy to what? Like a defense contractor? Just like that.
Pretty much. And what did he want in return for this incredible leap forward for Brazil's Air Force? Oh, I don't know, maybe his freedom.
Oh, so that was the angle, huh? You scratch my back, I'll build you a UFO.
Yeah,
Classic.
you can't make this stuff up. Although, I guess he kind of did. But you got to wonder, right? Did the Brazilian authorities actually buy it, even for a second? It does kind of make you wonder, was Christensen delusional? Was he running a con? Or maybe, and this is the really interesting part, maybe he was a little bit of both.
Right. It's like, on the one hand, you've got this really detailed description of this flying saucer, all these technical details. It makes you think, okay, maybe this guy really believes what he's saying. But then, on the other hand, there's this super obvious attempt to, like, use the whole thing to get himself out of hot water. Pure opportunism.
It's that push and pull. That's what makes Christensen's story so fascinating. It wasn't just about the flying saucer itself. It was about desperation, ambition, and how a good story, even a crazy one, can grab people's attention, especially when the world's hungry for, I don't know, maybe a little wonder, a little bit of fear, all at the same time.
So we've got this convicted spy, right? And he's spinning this yarn about this, like, totally revolutionary invention, hoping to trade this fantasy weapon for a one-way ticket out of jail.
It's crazy, right? I mean, you got to admit, it's a pretty good story.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what's even crazier? Christensen, he wasn't the only one out there peddling these kinds of stories, especially back then in those post-war years. It was like this whole, I don't know, like a cottage industry of people claiming they had the inside scoop on some secret Nazi technology.
It's true. Whispers and rumors, that's all it took.
Like they say, where there's smoke, well, there's usually someone trying to sell you a fire extinguisher, or in this case, maybe a flying saucer.
Ah, exactly.
Yeah.
And one of the bigger names in this whole secret invention game, there was this German engineer, Rudolf Schraver. And unlike Christensen, this guy, he actually had some credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Claimed he'd worked on designs for circular aircraft, for the Luftwaffe.
So maybe a little more hands-on experience than our oil-powered flying saucer guy.
You could say that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The stories they told, they're actually pretty similar. Schriever, he also started spreading these stories about these, like, super advanced flying discs he'd supposedly helped design. Even had some of the same stuff in his designs, propellers, jet engines, kind of like Christensen's thing.
Huh. So either great minds really do think alike, or somebody was taking notes.
Right. Makes you think. So, like, maybe there was some, like, cross-pollination going on, you know? These stories, they feed off each other. Each one gets a little more outlandish.
A little game of technological one-upmanship. Except they're playing in the shadows, high stakes.
Totally. And, you know, we might never really know what got Christensen's imagination going. But his story, it's a good reminder, I think, that the truth, it's a fragile thing, especially when people are scared, uncertain, looking for answers.
Yeah, it reminds us to, you know, to keep our heads on straight, not get too carried away, be skeptical, especially when something sounds a little too good to be true. Because at the end of the day, this story, this whole flying saucer thing, it wasn't really about amazing technology or secret Nazi weapons.
No, you're right. It was about the power of a good story, the things we don't know, and how we're just, I don't know, hardwired to be fascinated by the possibility that there's something truly amazing just out there waiting to be discovered.
And sometimes the best stories, they're the ones where we get to do a little detective work ourselves.
Right.
Sort through the facts, figure out what's what, and in the end, we're left with this little bit of mystery, something to think about.